wonderful opportunity to be able to share Torah. This is a great opportunity for me to be able to prepare and to teach, and I want to thank you all for joining and for participating. I want to thank Rabbi Shabtai for all of his efforts on behalf of the Beis Medrash and the Midrashah in promoting Torah throughout our community and really beyond now. Now that we're on Zoom and we're virtual, so we have the ability even from cold Minneapolis to have people joining us for the learning. And it's a great schus for our community. It's a great schus for our shul, something that we are enormously proud of. I am a little bit humbled, obviously, as I am the opening act for Rabbi Chaim Eisenstein. Rabbi Eisenstein is a Rebbe of mine, a mentor of mine, someone who I've learned with both in YU and beyond. And you are all in for a very big treat at 3:40 today and every day. So I cannot encourage you enough to stay and to learn with him and to learn from him. He's an amazing Talmid Chacham, a real mensch. Someone with impeccable midos. And so again, it's humbling to be able to be the opening act for him. Okay, so I asked Rabbi Shabtai, I said, what should we learn this Zman? He said, maybe something in a little bit halacha, a little bit gemara. And I thought that I would refer to some halachas that I've been reviewing recently as they've been particularly applicable for me and my family. And those the halachas of Amira Lenachri. What am I allowed to and what am I not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do for me on Shabbos? Now, this happened to have happened in the Moskowitz house a number of times over Yontif, and I'll give you just a couple of scenarios. Let's say, in theory, one of my children, multiple times over Shabbos or Yontif, chose to turn on the light and to leave it on, and then they were unable to sleep that night. So am I allowed to have Junior from the shul come and shut off the light for him or her? I won't give away the gender. What about my air conditioning system? My air conditioning happened to have been a little bit broken. Those who live in Florida know that's a regular occurrence here in Florida. For some reason, the systems cannot keep up with the level of work we put them through. So am I allowed to have a service come on Shabbos or Yontif? Am I allowed to have Junior come, the custodian here at BRS? Am I allowed to have him come to my house and to help me with my air conditioning? What about my cleaning lady, my housekeeper, cleaning man or cleaning lady, I guess, right? I happen to have a housekeeper, someone who watches my daughter. So what happens when Yontif comes out on a weekday, or let's say she happens to be here for a Shabbos? What am I and what am I not allowed to ask her to do? What about here in Shul? Here in Shul, we have a custodial staff. Sometimes you'll see them doing malacha on Shabbos. What gives them the right to do malacha for us on Shabbos? Are they allowed to? Are they not allowed to? How do we tell them? How do we not tell them? Where does this notion of hinting come from, right? People assume that hinting is the be-all and end-all of malach on Shabbos, right? If I can't have a non-Jew do something, but if I hint to the non-Jew, then carte blanche, they're allowed to do anything under the sun, whatever it is that they want. Now, I obviously threw a lot of scenarios at you. Obviously, there are many more, but what I want to do is start at the beginning. And we're obviously not going to get to all of those questions today. I plan on spending at least the next 5 or 6 weeks discussing the parameters, the reasons, some of the specific halachos of Amira Lenachri. But considering how prevalent it is, so obviously it behooves us to study these halachos. Now, 2 points of caveats, I would say, as points of introduction. Number one is a lot of what we're going to talk about changes if we talk about a chola sheyesh bo sakana or a chola sheyin bo sakana. So I don't want you to apply these laws necessarily to a medical situation. There's a lot of leniency, certainly when it comes to a chola sheyesh bo sakana, of course. But even in a chola sheyin bo sakana, we're makil on Amira Lenachri, and we're going to get to that later on. But I want to state that outright now so that no one should make a mistake with regards to that. And the other caveat or the other point of introduction is that obviously while we are talking about what I am allowed to and what I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do, obviously does not apply to a Jew, even a non-firm Jew. And that's why here in Boca Raton, specifically, you have to be very careful. One cannot assume that the person that they're speaking to on the other line is a non-Jew. And certainly if you're calling an air conditioning company or if you're, right, you can never assume that it's a non-Jew. You have to do a little bit of research and diligence to ensure that you actually are speaking to a non-Jew, not a Jew. This applies to if you ever need a taxi cab or an Uber for whatever reason and we refer you to a non-Jew. So again, you have to be careful. Just a reminder that everything we're talking about here is specifically to a non-Jew. Okay, with that introduction, what we're going to discuss today is a little bit about the reasons for the prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you. And while there are many points of where I could have introduced this sugya from, we're kind of going to go from a sugya in Maseches Shabbos. And the sugya in Maseches Shabbos tells us the following. Let me just hide that. Okay. Sugya in Maseches Shabbos tells us the following. The nice thing about doing it on Zoom is I can blow things up for you guys. So whereas previously you always complained that my print was a little too small for you, now we can zoom in, we can zoom out. So Moshe Leib, if you're having trouble seeing, just let me know, and I can go like this or like this and make it readable for everyone. Okay, so Mishnah Maseches Shabbos tells us the following. Lo yischor adam po'alim b'Shabbos, that I'm not allowed to hire any workers on Shabbos. Velo yomar adam l'chaveiro lischor lo po'alim. Not only am I not allowed to hire any workers on Shabbos, but I also can't tell my friend to hire anyone on my behalf. Now, why can't I hire someone to do work for me on Shabbos? So there are two concerns, it seems like. Either one is that as the process of hiring someone, I'm going to come to write something down, that the process of Stam doing business is that you have to write things down. I'm going to make a mark of when they started doing their work, when they ended doing their work. Maybe I'll sign a contract, right? So there are many concerns of that in the process of hiring the person, I will write things down as part of business. Or there's just a Stam prohibition, a Mekach u'Memchar, that that business is prohibited on Shabbos, that our Shabbos should be different than our weekdays. And that means that the things that I do on Shabbos have to be different than the things I do on the weekday. I worry about work on Shabbos. I actually worry about work on Shabbos as opposed to you guys. But most people worry about work during the weekday. They don't worry about work on Shabbos. So we refrain from worrying about business on Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, why can't I ask my friend? Right? The first part of the Mishnah makes perfect sense to me. Lo yischor adam po'alim b'Shabbos. I get it. Mekach u'memchar, you don't want me writing stuff down, I understand. What about the second part of the Mishnah? V'lo yomar adam l'chaveiro l'schor l'opolim. What's the prohibition of me going to Yaakov and asking Yaakov to go hire someone for me? So it could be that there are two reasons behind that. Number one is the same reasons that I can't do it, right? In other words, we're afraid that if I go and hire someone, I'm going to write it down, that there's a prohibition of Mekach u'memchar. So if I go and ask Yaakov to hire someone on my behalf, it's the same exact concern, that when Yaakov is hiring a worker for me, maybe I'm going to write it down, maybe it'll be part of Mekach u'memchar, maybe I'll want to punch the guy in and punch the guy out. So one way of looking at it is it's the same kind of calculation, that if we have this interaction, then the same reasons I was concerned about in the first part of the Mishnah, I'm worried about in the second part of the Mishnah, and I would have the exact same problems. The other concern could be that if I hire someone, it could be an issue of lifnei iver, right? So just as I cannot hire someone to do malacha for me, so too I cannot ask Yaakov to hire someone to do malacha for me. Why? Because I'm putting Yaakov in a position where he could do the wrong thing, where he's going to violate a malacha. I'm not allowed to put people in a position where they're going to violate malacha, and therefore it's an issue of lifnei iver. And so we have two separate and distinct parts of the Mishnah. Number one is I am not allowed to hire someone to do work for me. Number two is v'lo yomar adam l'chaveiro. I cannot ask someone else to hire someone on my behalf. Now, what is blatantly ambivalent in the Mishnah? And again, you are all muted. I recognize that I'm asking questions. It's like being at the dentist. You know, when you're at the dentist and they've got like that thing to open up your mouth and they've got 15 tools in your mouth and the dentist is schmoozing with you. And you are like, I can't respond. I can't not, right? So it's like awkward. So it's a little awkward. I'm asking you questions and you guys are muted because I muted you, so you can't respond. But what is blatantly ambivalent about the Mishnah? And that is who we're talking about, right? Who are these Po'alim? Am I hiring Jews or am I hiring non-Jews? And that is what the Gemara itself is concerned about. So the Gemara in source number two says, Pshita, right? This is obvious. In other words, parts one and two of the Mishnah says the Gemara, you don't need to tell me part two of the Mishnah. It is obvious. Maishnahu umaishnachaveiro. If I can't do it, why can't I ask Yaakov to do it on my behalf? Isn't it pashut? Isn't it obvious that if I can't do it, I also can't ask Yaakov to do it on my behalf? Okay, and now we come to two answers. Critically important, very different answers. Amar Rapapa, chaver nachri. Rapapa comes along and says, no. The chiddush of the second part of, or the chiddush of our Mishnah, so to speak, is that we are talking about a non-Jew, right? And what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah is to tell me that I can't ask a goy to do things on my behalf on Shabbos. Okay, so not only can I not hire a goy, but I also can't ask Yaakov to hire a goy, or I can't even have a goy hire on my behalf. Right, excuse me. I can't even have a goy hire on my behalf. That's Rav Papa. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, according to Rav Papa. That step number one is I can't do the hiring. Step number two is I can't even involve a non-Jew in that. I can't even involve a goy in that. Comes along Ravashi. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi comes along and offers a contradiction. And what does he say? Amira l'nachri shvus. Wait a second. We already know that I can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos. We already know that there's a rabbinic prohibition of Amira l'nachri. Right? What does Rashi say over there? So if you go to source number three, Rashi says, where do we know that from? So Rashi says, Amira l'nachri shvus, ukvar stama rebi l'masnisin. We know that from a different Mishnah, which teaches, Rashi says, nachri sheba lichvos ein omrim lo kava. That's talking about the Mishnah in source number four, Maseches Shabbos, Perek Tezayin, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah tells us the following. Let's say, in a non-dangerous situation, my house were burning down. Chas v'shalom. Now, obviously, nowadays, our houses are so close together that if one house is burning down, there's a concern for other houses, and it totally changes the calculation. But what if I'm in the middle of a farm, in the middle of nowhere? Okay? My house is burning down, everyone is safe, there's no pikuach nefesh concerns whatsoever. Says the Mishnah, I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to put out the fire for me. Why? Because the same way I can't do malacha, I can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me as well. That is Amir l'Nachri. Comes along the Mishnah and says, Nachri sheba l'chabos. But what happens if I don't ask the Nachri to do it, but the Nachri comes and does it on his own? Non-Jew happens to be driving by, sees my house on fire, says, Ay, Nebuch, so terrible for someone to have their house burned down. Maybe it'll cause peripheral damage, and he goes and he's about to pour water on my fire. Says the Mishnah, Ein omrim lo kava v'al tichba. I don't have to stop him. Notice I can't tell him to do it, but I also don't have to stop him from doing it. Why? Mibnei she'ein shvisaso alein. I am not obligated. I am not responsible for a non-Jew to rest on Shabbos. So whatever Junior in the shul does on Shabbos is none of my business. Junior, not only does he not have to keep Shabbos, he's prohibited from keeping Shabbos. We know that halacha. It's one of the most complicated halachas when it comes to a convert, because as they progress in their conversion process, it becomes very hard for them, very difficult for them to actually not keep Shabbos and to violate malacha. Okay? So I don't have to tell Junior to keep Shabbos. I can't tell Junior to do malacha for me. I can't tell Junior to go and please put out the fire. But if Junior's going to do it anyways, I don't have to stop him. Why? That's what Rashi quotes. And Rashi over there says, why ain't omrim lo kaveh? Rabbanan gazral amir l'nachrim mishun shvus. Rashi again tells us that there's this generic prohibition of amir l'nachri. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So Rav Papa comes along and says, you want to know what the chiddush of our Mishnah is? The chiddush of our Mishnah is that we're talking about a goy, and that there is this prohibition of asking a goy to do malacha for me. Comes along Ravashi, and Ravashi says, no, I already know that from somewhere else. I know that from the Gemara and the Mishnah elsewhere in Masechah Shabbos, Andav Kufchav Aleph Amar Aleph. So what then is the chiddush of our Mishnah according to Ravashi? So Ella Amar Ravashi, Afilu Tema Chaveri Yisrael. The chiddush of the second part of the Mishnah is that even if I'm talking to a Jew, in other words, it's teaching me a leniency. That whereas in general, I can't ask a Jew to do malacha for me, but where am I allowed to? Hakamash malan lo yomer adam l'chaveiro schor li poalim. I can't tell Yaakov to hire me any workers. Aval, but what can I do? And this is the chiddush according to the Ravashi in the Mishnah. Omer adam l'chaveiro, hanira shetamo rimi la'erev. In other words, like, you want to meet by the bleachers after dark? In other words, I'm allowed to hint at it. Umas nisin mani, and who's this Mishnah now according to? Krav Yeshua ben Karcha, titanya lo yomer adam l'chaveiro, hanira shetamo rimi la'erev. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, omer adam l'chaveiro, hanira shetamo rimi la'erev. I'm allowed to hint to you on Shabbos that we should meet up after Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Krav Yishu ben Karcha. Amar Rabbi Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, my time in Rav Yishu ben Karcha. Why does Rav Yishu ben Karcha allow that? Dichsi mibso chavtzecha v'davar davar. Right, the pasuk in Yishayahu says that their speech on Shabbos should be different than your speech during the weekday. Says the Gemara, Dibor Aser. I can't say things on Shabbos, but hear her mutter. But I can hint things on Shabbos. I can allude to things on Shabbos. So according to Rav Ashi, whereas Rav Papa says here we're talking about a non-Jew, Rav Ashi comes along and says, non-Jew? I already know the halacha of Amir al-Nachri. I already know the halacha that Amir al-Nachri is prohibited. What then is the chiddush of our Mishnah? The chiddush of our Mishnah, according to Rav Ashi, is to teach us a leniency, that I can hint to someone to do malacha for me after Shabbos. What's clear, though, from the Gemara, crystal clear from the Gemara, that according to Rav Ashi, what is the concern here? What's the prohibition? What's the reason for a concern of Amir al-Nachri? Well, it's very clear that the concern was Dabir Davar, that I'm not allowed to ask for the Goy to do something. I'm not allowed to speak in the same way on Shabbos as I would speak to the during the Chol. And so the whole problem, according to Rav Ashi, is a problem of Dabir Davar, which means my speech on Shabbos has to be different than my speech on Chol. And the Chiddush is that within the prohibition of Dabir Davar, you can hint to do something after Shabbos. That's the leniency, according to Rav Ashi. So you have two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is Rav Papa, the other opinion is Rav Ashi. Based on Rav Ashi's rejection, right, it sounds like there's an entirely different prohibition. Because remember, Rav Ashi says, I already know Amir al-Nachri from the Gemara and Shabbos. What then are we talking about here? We're talking about Dabir Davar here. What then is the other prohibition? In other words, when we talk about the Mishnah in Dav Kuf Chav Aleph, Amar Aleph, what are we talking about there? If it's not B'Dabir Davar, what then would be the other reason for the prohibition of Amir al-Nachri? That's what we have to figure out here. Because again, Rav Ashi says, I already know Amir al-Nachri elsewhere. What then are we talking about here? We're talking about Dabir Davar here. What is the Amir al-Nachri elsewhere? What is the other concern of Amir al-Nachri that Rav Ashi seems to know about, and that Rashi in both here and in the Gemara and Shabbos seem to know about? What is the concern? So if you look down here in the Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, the Mishnah says the following. Misha hichshich bederach. Right? This happens all the time, more so in New York than here, where there's more traffic. But Rabbi Willig used to tell us, certainly after 9/11, that there were a bunch of Fridays in a row. I was in Rabbi Willig's shir at the time, and he was getting weekly calls from people who had left work, got stuck in crazy traffic on the Lincoln Tunnel or the whatever, face the, you know, the miserable roads in New York. And what do they do? So the Mishnah says, Mishichshich baderech, what if you're walking on the road and you have your wallet in your pocket? Shabbos is coming. You put your wallet on the ground. It's good as, you might as well have given it to, you know, Alfonso or whatever goy is walking by, right? Because if you put it down, it's not going to be there after Shabbos. So what do? So no saying kiso lenachri. So I'm allowed to find a non-Jew, presumably one that I trust, to give it back to me after Shabbos, but I'm allowed to find a non-Jew and ask the non-Jew to keep it for me. V'in emi mo nachri manichu al chamor. And if I can't find a nachri, I'm allowed to put it on donkey, etc., etc., etc. Ask the Gemara, my taima, sharulu rabbanan, lemesa kise lenachri. I ask the Gemara, wait a second, why am I allowed to give it to Junior? Right, I'm coming into shul, I realize on my wallet. I'm allowed to give it to Junior to hold to me till after Shabbos. Why am I allowed to give it to Junior? Right? Isn't this a violation of Amir al-Nachri? Isn't there a concern here that by me giving it to Junior, I'm causing him to do malacha on my behalf? So answers the Gemara, no. That there is a special leniency here to give the goy your wallet. Why? Kim lehu l'rabbanan de'ein adem ma'amid atzmo amamono. In other words, we know your limitations. Right? Similar to Eishes Yifas Torah, where the Torah speaks in real terms, not in ivory tower. The Torah knows you go out to war, you're separated from your wife. Don't forget, war back then, man, you were leaving a year, 2 years, 3 years. You didn't just like, oh, I went to war, I came back a day later, right? So the Torah understood, and they gave us a special dispensation called Eishes Yifas Torah. That's what the Gemara is doing here also. The Gemara says, we know that you're willing to be mevatel on a lot of things. You're willing to give up on a lot of things. You want to know one of the things a Jew is not so willing to give up on, and that's his money. Right? A person's not going to be able to withstand that nisayon, that test. lo sharislei, if we don't permit it, asi lasuye arba amos brishus rabim. What am I going to do? Instead of giving it to the nachri, I'm going to carry, which is an even worse prohibition. So what's the Gemara telling us? That generally it is not okay. But here there's a special leniency. Now what is the leniency here? Notice, what was the prohibition in the first place? Rabbi Brand, it can't be dabar davar. Right? Because I'm not asking the non-Jew to do anything. I'm not using words. I'm simply putting it in his pocket. So it can't be dabar davar. It has to be something else. Right? Says Rashi, my time is shari le lemesel v'nachri. What's the reason they allowed me to give it to the nachri? V'harehu shlucho lisa nebeshabes. Rashi introduces us to this new word called shlucho, that the non-Jew becomes my shaliach. Totally irrespective of a dabar davar, there's an additional prohibition, says Rashi, when it comes to Amir Lanachri, and that prohibition is shlichus. That when I ask the non-Jew to do malacha for me, shlucho shel adam kamoso, the non-Jew becomes like me, and it's as if the Jew, I'm doing malacha on Shabbos. That's a problem. I'll show you another raya, another proof that this is how Rashi holds. It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph. The Gemara over here is talking about threshing with my ox. Okay? Ibai lehu. Ma'u sheyomer adam lanachri chasom parti vidash ba. Right? Muzzle my animal and thresh with that animal. Now there's a prohibition against muzzling your animal while they are threshing. So says the Gemara, mi amrinan, ki amrinan amrila nachri shvus, hani mili linyan Shabbos, de iser skila. Avachasima de iser lav lo odem lo shna. When we said that amir lanachri shvus, that amir lanachri is not okay, do we only have that rabbinic prohibition by Shabbos when it's very chamor, or do we say no, amir lanachri applies even when it comes to muzzling an animal in threshing? Now, what is the prohibition here? Right, the ox has no kedusha whatsoever. What would be the prohibition here? There's no vidava davar here whatsoever. So what's the prohibition? It must be there's another prohibition. It must be there's something else at play other than vidava davar, other than me speaking on Shabbos. Comes along Rashi and says, I'll tell you exactly what the prohibition is. Shenachri zeh chashev shlucho shel Yisrael. Chumra derabanu hulamesar. You want to know what the prohibition is? It has nothing to do with that I can't speak Shabbos. Not, we weren't talking about Shabbos there. What's the prohibition? Is that the second I ask Junior to muzzle my animal, it's as if I muzzled my animal. In fact, Tosus and Maseches Kedushin is a whole arichta, quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that there's even a, like if you think about the implications of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamosa, what happens if I appoint someone to go betroth the woman on my behalf? Right? So the guy goes up to her and says, Hare at Mikudeshes Li. Right? Now, clearly, I'm the one marrying her. Right? Not my messenger. So Tosus over there says, like, that's how far we take the extent that even though he uses the language, Hare at Mikudeshes Li, it's implied that it counts for me. And that my shaliach is not the one who married this girl just now. Because that would create a whole slew of problems. Right? That's how far we extend this notion of shlichus. And so Rashi, both in Shabbos and over here, tell us that there's a second component. Yes, there was v'daber davar. That, says Ravashi, is what our first mission was talking about. That is one concern of Amir l'Nachri. But there's a second additional concern of Amir l'Nachri. And that is that the Nachri takes my place. Shlichus, shlucho shel adam kamoso. Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Agos Maimonios, says this as well. You can't give a nachri money before Shabbos so that they could buy something for you on Shabbos. Why? Again, Hagos Maimonios uses that language of shlichus. It's as if the nachri is doing it for me. That's a problem. Shulchan Aruch Harav writes the following. That when the nachri does the malach on Shabbos, who osa, again listen to this word, b'shlichus ha-Yisrael. He is acting as my agent. V'yafal pisha ein omrim shlucho shel adam kamoso. And even though we don't say shlucho shel adam kamoso mina Torah ela b'Yisrael, hanasa shaliach li Yisrael, wait a second. Don't we ordinarily say Shlucho shel adam kamosa, the laws of shlichus, only apply to a Jew, not to a non-Jew. And he brings the raya, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe, Aval hanachri eino b'torah shlichus min haTorah, and a non-Jew can't be mashaliach mideraisa. Mikol makom, however, midivrei sofrim yesh shlichus lanachri l'chumra. The rabbis added on a chumra within Amir lanachri midin derabanan that it's prohibited for me to ask a non-Jew because of shlichus. V'yish remez liser zeh b'shabes v'yantim in haTorah shenemar komaleches. Komalacha lo yaseh bahem, mashma afila al yidei acherim, implies even if I do it through non-Jews, she'ein mitzuvim al shvisa biyantav, even those who are not, I'm not required for their resting, nonetheless I can't ask them to do that. So you see Rashi, you see the Agos Mamonios, you see the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rav Akiva Eiger, in the next comment says that also, d'yesh omrim d'amir la'akrim d'isr chazal d'dami l'shlichus, again, a special chumrah of Chazal. So we have so far two reasons. Reason number one was Davar Davar. Reason number two, Ravashi says, is Shlichus. And that's why Ravashi says, again, going back to source number two, the Gemara, Ravashi, now we come back to Ravashi. Again, our Mishnah said, Lo Yomar Adam L'Chaveiro, Lischor Lo Polim. I can't ask Yaakov to go hire workers for me. Ravashi says, we can't be talking about Amir al-Nachri because I knew that already. Where do we know that? So now it understands, right? We know that there's this concept of Amir al-Nachri, Shlichus, that I can't ask the agent. The Gemara over there was adding a different component of Dabar Dabar. So we're up to two different reasons. This is expressed explicitly in the Kilas Yaakov, where he writes the following. He says, Vehanira, Ditzarach lomer lechor ladas Rashi, deveemes ika trei tam eleiser amir lanachri. Says the Kilas Yaakov, there are two reasons for amir lanachri according to Rashi. Haechad midin amir lanachri shvus, right? One is amir lanachri midarabanan, veasheni midin mimso cheftzcha vedaber davar vitravai tzrichi. And you need both of them, okay? And we're going to discuss that a little bit more in a little bit. Okay, so far we've discussed not one, but two reasons for Amir al-Nachri. There is a third reason, and that is expressed by the Rambam. Comes along the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph of Hilcha Shabbos, and the Rambam says the following. Aser lomar legoy, lasos lanu malacha v'Shabbos. I cannot ask a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Afal pisha inu mitzuva ala Shabbos, even though junior is not commanded to keep Shabbos. V'afal pisha amr lo mikodem haShabbos. And even though I'm telling him before Shabbos, V'afal pisha eno tzarech lo sam alacha ela achar Shabbos. Or even if after, I don't need him to do it until after Shabbos. Davar ze aser midivrei sofrim. Says the Rambam in all of these scenarios, it's aser midarabanan. Why? Kidei shelo tiyek Shabbos kala beineyem v'yavo la'sosam be'atzman. What are we concerned about? Says the Rambam, we're concerned about a lack of reverence for Shabbos. That if juniors, let's say, again, let's play out the scenario of the Rambam. Okay, junior, works for the shul, close friend of mine. Let's say I said to junior, you know what, junior, I need a lot of work done in Shabbos. So can you come to my house, and you'll be my Shabbos goy. So that when I need a light turned on, you'll turn on the light for me. When I need a light turned off, you'll turn the light off for me. When I need to put the dishwasher on, you'll put the dishwasher on me. Oh, and by the way, Sundays are a little cramped for me. Do you mind mowing my lawn on Shabbos? And do you mind also driving, right? What happens to Shabbos, says the Rambam? Well, it's two things. Number one is Shabbos is now a bizayon to me, right? The whole purpose of Shabbos is that I rest. If I walk around all day telling Junior to do malacha for me, that's what's called, like, bending the letter of the law, right? That's the spirit of the law. You're ruining the spirit of the law, okay? Ooh, and we have gardeners behind us, and I apologize for that. But you're ruining the spirit of the law. Number two, says the Rambam, what's my concern? V'yavo la'sos be'atzman, right? I'm going to get so used to having Junior do this malacha for me that 1 week Junior doesn't come. I'm so dependent on it. I might come to do it myself. Now, this concern of the lack of reverence on Shabbos was actually what led Ramosha Feinstein, very famously, and others, to prohibit Shabbos clocks in the early stages of Shabbos clocks. Right? What was Ramosha's concern? So Ramosha was asked about them, right? Malacha Nesis b'Shabbos Ayidei Shaon b'Shabbos. Am I allowed to use a Shabbos clock, alarm clock, a Shabbos clock, excuse me? Says Ramosha, Hine b'davar chashmal inyan halektrali, right? Can I have a timer for my Shabbos clock, for my, you know, I use on Shabbos? Says Ramosha, Efshar yaladei mora shos, hanasa lakach, shiamidena b'erev Shabbos. Again, I set the clock erev Shabbos. Ba'ofen sheyaschil levashel lemachar b'yom Shabbos, kisha lifnei zman achila. And I wanted to turn my oven on, you know, an hour before Shabbos. Asher achecha nechti ayakar aram barach shlita shual. This person asked. Hinei le'anias daiti, says Ramosha. Pashut she'asr. Ramosha says it's so pashut to me that it's asr. Lahatir zeh. Deharei al yidei morishos kazei yachon lasos kol malachos b'Shabbos. Right, Ramosha was very prescient, by the way. Ramosha understood that if you use Shabbos clocks, what's going to happen? I'm going to run my entire house on Shabbos clocks. And I'm basically going to have everything operational. I'm simply going to do it. Rabbi, I didn't do malacha, but everything got done through malacha. And I cooked through malacha, and my lights went on in malacha, and my sprinklers went on in malacha. And, right, but it was all Shabbos clock. Rabbi, I didn't touch anything. Right? Ve'ein lecha zilzo gadol l'Shabbos mizera. Moshe Feinstein says it's going to uproot the entire purpose of Shabbos. You're going to have malacha done. Yeah, I won't have been the one to do the malacha. But the net result will be that malacha was done for me. And what's Ramosha's proof? How does Ramosha understand and realize that this is a concern of Chazal? He says, Ubarer, it's clear to me. Shim haya zeh bizmana tanayim v'amorayim. If this was in the time of the tanayim and the raim, hayu osrim zeh, they would have asked this. Why? Kemo she'asra amir la'akrum itam zeh. Just as they asked amir la'akrum for this exact reason. In other words, Ramosha Feinstein understands Amir Lachram the exact same way that the Rambam did. That the Rambam says that if you use a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos, what's going to be the problem? The problem's going to be that soon you're going to be Zilzel Shabbos. There's going to be no reverence for Shabbos whatsoever. And so what we saw so far is three different reasons for Amir Lachram. Reason number one is Davar Davar, that my speech on Shabbos has to be different than my speech on the weekday, and that by me asking a non-Jew to do malacha for me, it's going to be a problem of a davar davar. I'm not allowed to ask the non-Jew to do it. Number two, we saw Rashi, which is midin shlichus, that shlucho shel adam kamoso. And number three is we saw the Rambam, and the Rambam's concern is one of reverence on Shabbos. Now, parenthetically, coming back to shlichus I didn't mention, is some of you may have asked, why is shlichus a problem here? Right? Why is shlichus a problem here? So let me ask you a question. If I ask Rabbi Brand, only because I see him most clearly in front of me, I'm sorry to pick on you, Rabbi Brand. If I ask Rabbi Brand to do malacha for me on Shabbos, and Rabbi Brand goes and does malacha for me on Shabbos, right? So Rabbi Brand gets up to Shamayim after 120 years, and they say, Rabbi Brand, why'd you do this malacha? So Rabbi Brand says, why did I do the malacha? I didn't have a choice. Rabbi Moskowitz asked me to do malacha. I was his shaliach. It's not my fault. Blame Rabbi Moskowitz. So what is the halacha? What is Hashem going to say back to Rabbi Brand? So the halacha is going to say back to Rabbi Brand, no, Rabbi Brand, you missed a very fundamental gemara. And that is, ein shaliach ledavar avera. There's no shlichus when it comes to a sin. That if I ask Rabbi Brand to do a sin on my behalf, Rabbi Brand can't claim, I was just Rabbi Moskowitz's shaliach. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? The whole Nazi argument, we were just following directions. Judaism say it doesn't work that way. Right? Ein shaliach ledavar avera. You don't have shlichus when it comes to an avera. And says the Gemara over there, why not? Why do we not apply shlichus? Says the Gemara, divrei rav, v'divrei talmud, divrei mishomim. Who are you going to listen to, Rabbi Brand? You can listen to the Rav, in other words, Hashem, who says it's usher to do X, Y, or Z. You can listen to Moskowitz, the Talmud, who says to do X, Y, and Z. So we apply this principle of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim, we apply it to Ein Shliach L'Davar Aver. But maybe that doesn't apply to a Goy. Right? Maybe the Jew who's obligated to listen to Hashem, you can say divrei rav, divrei talmid, divrei mishomim. But when it comes to a goy, the goy, Hashem never told him to do any otherwise, except for one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, but the goy never had the responsibilities that I have when it comes to keeping halacha. And so perhaps that's how you would get away from this issue of ein shliach l'davar aveira, and you'd come back to this prohibition of shlichus. Okay, so we saw three different reasons why it is that I can't ask a nachri to do malacha for me. Reason number one was shlichus. Reason number two was davar davar. Reason number three was the sanctity, reverence for Shabbos. What are some nafkaminas between these reasons? So number one is, can I tell a goy to do something before Shabbos for me on Shabbos? So this the Rambam said explicitly, quotified in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, if you refer back to that source, says, Asr lomar legoy lanu, lasos lanu malacha b'Shabbos, afal pishenu mitzuv al Shabbos, says at the end, v'afal pishenu tzarech los malacha el al achar Shabbos. Right? Oh, I'm sorry, he says here, v'afal pishamar lomi kodem Shabbos. Right? Even if I tell the non-Judas, do it for me before Shabbos, for on Shabbos. Now, why would that be the case? Right? It's clearly not an issue of a davar davar, because I'm telling the goy to do it for me before Shabbos. That's why Rashi and the Rambam needed other reasons to prohibit it. Either Rashi because of Shaliach, so that when the non-Jew does it for me on Shabbos, he's now my agent. Or, like the Rambam, that it's going to uproot the sanctity of Shabbos. But now you understand conceptually why the davar davar wasn't enough. Because we had to find a reason to prohibit it if I told the goy before Shabbos on Shabbos. What about the opposite case? What if I tell a goy to do something for me on Shabbos, right? And I want him to do it for me after Shabbos. So here, the Kilas Yaakov in the continuation says the following. So I'm telling Junior to do something for me on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Hasam adarabba. Midinar mir lanachri shin yanu kishlucho leika. Right? Shlichus? No, it doesn't work. Because it's after Shabbos. There's no problem of that at all. Right? Leika klal du b'chol kavidle. Bizman shi Yisrael atzma mutter b'lacha. Ela she'asr lomar b'Shabbos mishum v'davar davar. Now's when you need the reason of a davar davar. Because when am I telling the goy to do it? I'm telling the goy to do it on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to say those words on Shabbos. What about the Rambam? What would the Rambam say about this scenario? It's a very good question. Right? Because again, I'm talking about it on Shabbos, but he's doing it after Shabbos. Does that uproot the sanctity of Shabbos? Something to think about. I only have 2 minutes left. What about giving the goy instructions when it's Shabbos where the goy is? Okay, so let's say the case here is that I'm in Israel. Shabbos for me in Israel. I'm sorry, it's Motzi Shabbos for me in Israel. Can I call Junior in America and ask Junior to do something for me on Shabbos? So it's 9 o'clock in Israel. It's 2 o'clock in America. It's still Shabbos in America. I'm in Israel and I realize something. I need Junior to do something. Can I call America and ask Junior to do something? So in Shas Tshuvas B'Mareh HaBazak, they ask this Shaila and they come to the following conclusion. They say, Tshuva Mutter, Mimnesha Shlosha Satamim, Shenemer B'Isra Amir La'akum Lo Shaychus. The three reasons, our three reasons aren't Shaykh. For Mimsochef Tzchav Adavar Davar, not a problem. Because for me, the Jew, it's already weekday. So there's no prohibition of me saying it. What about shlichus? Sahi, this is a chiddush, I think, but they say it's not a problem. Mikaven sheitzel Yisrael chol veafilu lo atzmo mutter. In other words, because it's chol for me, shlichus simply wasn't set up in that situation. And number three is, what about desecrating Shabbos? That it's going to be a desecration of Shabbos. So he says that's not a problem either. She'ena dibur gorei lezilzur Shabbos kodesh, shkin Yehudi yodeh she'atam she'adibur mutter. Right, who dafka mishum shu nimsa ba'aretz. I know the only reason I'm allowed to ask Junior to do something is because I'm in Israel and he's in America, but I understand the sanctity of Shabbos. So those are three nafkaminas between our reasons. And next week, we're going to start off with a fourth nafkamina, and that is hinting, and that's going to take us into the sugya of hinting, where that comes from. Is that allowed? When is that allowed? And why is that allowed? So just to summarize, we saw three different reasons for why there's a prohibition of Amir Lanachri, either a Daber Davar, or Shlichus, or the sanctity of Shabbos. We saw three nafkaminas between those reasons. Can I tell a Jew, a Goy, before Shabbos, do something on Shabbos? The reverse, can I tell a non-Jew on Shabbos for after Shabbos? Or can I give a Goy instructions when it's Shabbos, when it's not Shabbos for me, but it is Shabbos for them? Something to think about how you apply those different reasons. And with that, I am 1 minute over. You are in for a real treat, a real treat. Rebbe of mine, huge Talmud Chacham, very big mensch. I cannot endorse staying and learning from him enough. And that is my dear friend and Rebbe Chaim Eisenstein.
Rabbi, can you make the sauces available?